Hello and welcome to The Natural View. I'm Maggie Jacqua. I'm the content director of Whole Foods Magazine, and I'm here with Todd Polley of 24 Stories Marketing. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
Good to see you. And we have a special guest today. We're so honored to be here with Dr. Daniel Fabricant. He is the president and CEO of the Natural Products Association. Welcome.
Thanks, Maggie. Thanks, Todd. Good to be with you guys today.
Good to see you.
Likewise.
All right. So many of our viewers and our readers are very familiar with your work, with NPA. But for those who aren't, can you just give us an overview of the association, what you guys do, and the work that you do in support of our industry?
Yeah, we're old and large, 87 years old, be 90 in a few years. I know other associations just celebrated an anniversary. Happy anniversary to them. But it all started with NPA back in 1936. Believe it or not, at that time, it really came out of the mom and pop health food stores. Apparently, in 1930s, it was a crime to retail sprouted bread and whole wheat and things like that. So, but it's transitioned. But I think the focus is the same. Nobody past, present, or future has really fought for the industry like NPA. You know, whether it's on the legislative branch, whether it's the executive branch, we all remember, you know, the Schoolhouse Rock stuff, or judicial branch, or our organization, whether it's fighting in the courts, fighting on the Hill, fighting with FDA, FTC. And it's not always a fight, but really making sure that we get a fair shake as an industry from the government. And not at all that all government is bad, but I think most of the time when they intervene too much, it's usually not a good outcome, especially for our industry. And there's certainly been a lot of misinformation out there. Not all of it by the government, but the whole we're unregulated, everything else. So, you know, that's a big part of what we do is really educate lawmakers, educate across the board that whether it's the media, not you guys, the media, but the commercial media.
You educate us too.
But making sure that it's out there and that the industry is really, you know, it's clear as to all the benefit this industry provides for this country, not just health and wellness, but just the jobs, economic growth is huge right now. It's substantial. It's important. And folks need to know that.
And I love, you know, you touched on that you started with the mom and pops. And I just want to highlight that you guys still do that work focusing on the independents, which Whole Foods Magazine, we really focus on the independents and the mom and pops. So we'll touch more on that later. But I just wanted to highlight that and we'll dive a little more into that.
Certainly.
Yeah, I'm blown away by the history. I honestly didn't know the NPA has been along or around that long. It's impressive. I'm wondering, you know, fast forward to today, what are some of the pressing issues right now that you see on your desk that you're fighting for?
There's so many, Todd. And it's not, you know, people go, well, Washington, D.C. is a mess. And they're not entirely, you know, you guys have been here. Our office is a block from the Capitol with good reason. We're up there a lot. We have to be. That's where the action is. A lot of unintended consequences right now. But we're also seeing so much pressure from the states. I was actually up in New York yesterday, up in Long Island, for an administrative hearing for one of our members on kava. And they are trying to treat it as an unapproved food additive, kind of a throwback to pre-Duchet. So, yeah, well, I guess what's old is new again, because you really have a whole new generation of folks who may not know what Duchet is, may not know what a dietary supplement is, even though the 80% of the country uses them. We still see, and right now, it seems the pace has picked up. Some of the adverse, if you will, reporting on the industry that we're not regulated, that there's all these challenges out there, when in actuality, the safety record in this industry is second to none.
Yeah. And you talked about how it's not always a fight, but a lot of times it is. And, you know, advocacy is such a huge part of what NPA does and does so well. You coordinate just really effective grassroots and grass tops, which you were recently talking about in with some of the Whole Foods Magazine readers in an email. Can you talk about some of the importance of advocacy and give a few examples of some positive outcomes that have resulted from your efforts?
Sure. And I always want to preface the discussion with this is people go, oh, politics, hands off, right? Stay with us. It's like this visceral reaction from some people. Other people love to talk about it, right? It's interesting. I'm not a political scientist. I'm a scientist by training. But it's amazing that, you know, politics is a lightning rod. But with that said, personal politics really have to become secondary. If you're in business, you're in politics. So what does that mean? That means that you have votes and you can also contact your senators, your representatives. That's where it starts. At a minimum, we want everyone to come to DC for fly-in day. From my point of view, and I may be in the small minority, but to me as an industry, our strength, I appreciate all the events, trade shows, everything else, but you're going to get more people to a trade show and get them to Washington, D.C. for a fly-in. And then you're going to expect Congress to go, oh, we're going to take you guys seriously. That's a huge challenge. So that's a big part of what we do, is bridging that gap on a day in, day out basis. We know everyone, Maggie, you and Todd, you guys have jobs, right? You guys have, you know, you have to be in, you know, in New Jersey and at home and doing that. So you can't always be in DC. So that's where it all starts. But it also starts for, it's great for us to be able to go, hey, we walk into, for example, the New Jersey rep's office in your district, and we go, you know, do you know Whole Foods Magazine? Do you know what they do? And being able to discuss that. So that link is the critical piece, first and foremost, is be a member, be engaged. And then it goes from there. Write letters. We have a grassroots system. For example, on grassroots, you asked for some victories. I think our biggest victory last year was mandatory product listing, which would have been really bad. Just economically would have hit the industry for about, and these are Michael McGuffin's estimates, so we'll have to depend on him, but would have hit the industry for $25 million first year out of the gate. After that, who knows? But at least, so by the power of everyone writing their members of Congress, we got over 200,000 emails up to the Hill saying, hey, this is a terrible idea because you're effectively going to make FDA the gatekeeper, which really makes the, really takes the ball out of, you know, we talked about the independents, takes the ball in the independent retailer's hands, really puts it in the platform's hands. And the platforms will go, hey, FDA doesn't like you, so we're not going to sell you. And then it, that kind of trickles down from there, how independents set their shelves. So we were able to defeat that with the grassroots, with people just with the power of the pen, just writing their members of Congress. Some people call, which is great too, but everyone emails and texts nowadays. And so that's a big part of it, is just showing up. There are over 6,000 associations in this town, and they're all fighting for oxygen every day. They don't all deal with the FDA space, the FTC space, but to them, their issues are just as important. And so it's really that ability to get that number of correspondence really puts us in a better position than probably the majority of associations in this town.
You know, Dan, let's talk a little bit about that community involvement. You mentioned DeShay earlier, and I know we're coming up on the 30th anniversary, and I wasn't in the industry at that time, but what I still hear about the passion in the industry back then, you know, from the store shelves being blacked out, you know, a legislative effort that was coordinated. I'm curious today, do you sense the same sort of coordinated effort among your members, among the industry at large, or are there places we really need to step it up? I'm wondering if you could give a little bit of a comparison. What's your barometer there?
Yeah, in politics, and the big thing is politics have changed so much, right? Is we went from, you know, we went from cards and letters and phone calls where you could literally, you know, members of Congress didn't have to respond to emails, right? They had to respond to mail, they had to respond to phone calls when DeShay, and now everything's electronic and everyone's looking at their Twitter and everyone's constantly polling, right? You have 535 members of Congress, each one has a pollster, right? That's always saying, hey, how do people poll on this issue? So the metrics are way different, and we're behind. I mean, to your point, we're behind. We have to catch up as an industry that is widely used and as tightly regulated as we are. If we compare similar industries, we're behind. We're behind. You know, we may be ahead in grassroots. We may be ahead in, if you will, sentiment by Main Street, and that, you know, people really do like the industry. They really do trust the industry. They really look to us for their health and wellness. But in terms of politically playing the game on that level, sophisticated wise, and you know, it falls to us. We're always pushing that issue. We're always pushing that, hey, we've got to, you know, people, unfortunately, the world has really become, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And in Washington, D.C., as well as states, that usually means campaign contributions, right? Is a politician is, and it's not they're going to do what you want them to do necessarily. It's not a pay for play, but if you're not contributing to their campaign and their ability to get reelected, they're probably less likely to give you some time.
So what call to action? I mean, you know, you mentioned fly-in day and how important it is to attend, and that'll be coming up in 2024 again, and we'll certainly help you spread the word on that. But for now, what call to action do you have for our viewers? I mean, how can we get that passion back? How can we fight harder and help the cause?
Sure. And, you know, and there are different levels to it, Maggie. It's a great question. I think you start with, make sure you're at least subscribing to the social media feeds of, you know, publications like yours and, you know, our association, because I think that's where the word gets out. So it starts there. At least be informed that, hey, there are some things moving, whether through the states, whether through Congress, whether from FDA, whether either from the courts, right? It's I mean, we get pieced apart in the courts. If you had to ask me where we're the most vulnerable, I mean, the industry gets taken literally for tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars annually by plaintiffs bar in California, New York, Illinois, places like that, where we're constantly under attack for nuisance lawsuits. So at least get that information so you can arm yourself. And then after that, you know, I would say join an association, get involved. We prefer it to be ours, but join an association where you're going to get involved in committees. You're going to help to, if you will, build your own network, right? Like everyone's got their own email list. Everyone's got the, what is it? 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. They've got their people they talk to. And the more people hear from their network that, hey, look, this is an issue. Like the MPL thing, it was great to hear. And I remember being at the trade show last year in Las Vegas and, folks said, hey, how many people are for MPL and how many people are against it? I think one person raised their hand for it. And it was like, okay, perfect. Because so much, you know, so much talking had been done behind the scenes. Like, what's FDA after here? Like, it's not clear. There's really like a lot of confusion and there's no real benefit for anybody. And it's just going to hit us harder. It's going to make it harder for consumers to get access to our products. It's going to drive up costs. It's going to make us really targeted. And so I think that those are critical. And then once you're involved, it's obviously up to you how deeply you want to get involved, but, you know, attend as many meetings as you can, come to fly-in days, and work through committees. We don't just have members on the Hill at fly-in days. Our board comes to town 2-3 times a year. We get them on the Hill. When members are in town, we say, hey, get a hold of us. We want to take you to the Hill, take you to your offices. And even better yet is, and Kyle does a great job of this, members have to go back to, you know, they've got to go back home. And so, how many members of Congress do you think have been to a dietary supplement manufacturing facility or a retail store, right? Like that's the top, right? If we can get people to do that, if we can get our members and even others in the industry to write their member of Congress and say, hey, come to my store. You have no, you talk about my business, but you've never seen my business.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was remembering, I think it was during COVID, I'm not entirely sure, but on your social media. So just a simple thing, just social media posts where you spotlighted different companies who are MPA members and a lot of the retail stores. And then I, you know, learned about different companies and ended up following them on social media. And it's just that ripple effect of, you know, more knowledge and more familiarity and just it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up COVID. One of the funnier things, if you will, and it wasn't funny at the time, it happened during COVID, you had a few states with shutdown orders. We were able to secure through Homeland Security, keeping the industry deemed essential, which was huge. However, that couldn't necessarily override the states. So Nevada, the governor had a shutdown order of all non-essential retail food establishments. And for whatever reason, put, you know, a lot of our members who just may retail vitamins, health and beauty aids, things like that, but don't have grocery on that list. And so it was our viral moment, if you will. You had a gym that was shut down and next to it was a place that retailed supplements. And they were both shut down during COVID, but the Dairy Queen was open next to it. And so that, because it's like, wait a second, we're trying to, and the key is through dipped cones. Okay. A little bit different.
Are you saying I can go to Dairy Queen today and I don't have to take, you know, eat healthy? Because I'm going to leave this podcast right now if that's the case.
That is not the takeaway, Todd.
Oh, all right. No. All right. Well, hey, you know, you brought up, you know, getting involved and members really having a voice. And I think it's so important to point out to people this sphere of influence that everyone has. And I always think about that when, you know, if I walk into Supply Side West, which we'll all be doing here in a few weeks, or Expo West, it's crazy how many people, wherever it is, in the hallways, at a reception, how many people you actually know and talk to at every one of these shows. And you see them all of the time amongst tens of thousands of people. And it's because we have this industry that has historically been pretty close knit. And I think it's just once you, especially if you're new to the industry and maybe you're working for an ingredient manufacturer or something, you don't know much about the industry. If you just take that little step to get involved in, like you said, an association, a committee or whatever, all of a sudden your friends in the industry grow, your influence in the industry grows. I've seen it time and time again. And it's just that, it's that initial little step. And I'm wondering if you could kind of talk about that a little bit, kind of the nuts and bolts of, you know, how you make it easier for some of those members to get involved. We've talked a lot about, you know, joining, but I know you guys have some more specific things that you offer that I think is unique to MPA, which is like your action center and some of those other things. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and it trickles down. A lot of it trickles down from the fly-in day. We really want fly-in day. We had, you know, and we were back for the first time ever. Fly-in day used to get around 200 people. We had 100 this year. Next year, I mean, we'd love to see 1,000 people here, because I think, to your point, it's one thing to join a committee. Like, people love our scientific and regulatory committee. You have some of the brightest minds in the industry, you know, talking about, hey, here are the problems we're seeing with ingredient sourcing, what have you. And to your point, that brings people together, because it's not just casual talk on a show, on a trade show floor. It's like, hey, we do have challenges. Every industry does. And we're working together to address them. And I think where that really comes to kind of its peak is when you get people to DC together, working together. They may be competitors, right? They may be, let's say, two sports nutrition brands, and they're neck and neck, but they spend a day on the Hill together saying, hey, Congress, here's where you may have it wrong about us as a whole. And being able to do that together, it adds a degree of power that I think it beats any networking event, right? Like, that beats any networking, really, that committee work, you know, whether it's a scientific and regulatory committee, government affairs committee, membership committee, as well as folks, you know, we have a lot of folks who really help us educationally on our education committee and work on our webinars and things like that, to go, hey, this is what I experienced with my company. I'm willing to share that. You know, not everyone's going to invite you in your facility, especially if they're a competitor, but we've had that as well. You know, and I think that that's so important. And again, it's the work, right? We're all, if you will, stewards of the industry, right? We all have our own jobs, but it's like, okay, if we take 1%, 2% additional time to go, look, here's the issues we've experienced inside of our company, and here's what we're willing to do, and here's what we're willing to share that, especially if it's with regulatory agencies, legislators, it's critical. And it's not just in DC. I remember Kyle testified in New Jersey not too long ago, and we had an outpouring of folks from New Jersey, a lot of industry in New Jersey, come down and talk about their experiences, and it makes a difference.
All right. And I also know we're all going to be at Supply Side West. We're looking forward to that. And you will be speaking. Can you tell us a little bit about what you'll be talking about?
Yeah, probably the biggest challenge in the industry right now, which is drug exclusion, preclusion, as we've seen on CBD, NAC, which we were fortunate enough that our lawsuit got that free. And that's big for the industry. And NMN now, which is a B vitamin. So we've got a B vitamin that, for whatever reason, FDA wants to keep out of the hands of consumers who are trying to stay healthy. The whole thing is weird, that it appears that as long as you file an IND, that whether or not you market the drug or actually do a clinical trial doesn't matter, FDA continues to want to push the industry down. So it's a critical issue. I'll be talking about that and some ways forward. Some of them may involve the courts too, but looking forward to talking with you about that too in Las Vegas.
All right, and that'll impact the retail side as well, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, huge impact on the retail side, especially the independent retail side, right? Because the independent is where we see a lot of new things first. And so if we don't have a clear pipeline to get new ingredients, new products, innovation that people have spent, you know, money on the science to develop to the marketplace, what do we do? Like, I mean, that's really a game changer, especially for independents, where it's like, hey, you can only sell 6 things per FDA. It's like, oh, no. Our industry has always been about innovation for health, and we want to continue to be about that, because that's really what the public wants.
Absolutely. Well, we do so appreciate the work that you do, and we'll keep sharing the news. But before we wrap up, I just want to see if there's any final takeaway you want to leave us with, any word of wisdom, any caution for the industry to help us work, you know, more cohesively, help us to accomplish those shared goals that we have.
Sure. I think the biggest thing is just get involved, is don't leave it to someone else. It's too easy right now to leave it to someone else to be, you know, I dare use the word, no one likes it, a freeloader, but I think it's too easy to be one now. You're distracted. We have more distractions, more pulls on our time than ever before. So while it's understandable that you'll leave it to someone else, don't. I think we talk about that passion, all three of us, that the industry, you know, in Deshaies, which was really critical for our industry and our industry's growth, came out of getting back to that point. We may not get back to that point because times are different, but the point should be higher, but the point is still, it's still involvement, right? It's still that, hey, we all can play a role here, and just leaving it to someone else and saying, oh, someone else will do that, and I'll just talk about it when it's convenient for me. It can't be a labor of convenience, right? It's got to be a labor of love. And you've got to, you know, it's like parenting in some ways. It's, you know, you've always got to be involved. You can't take a backseat.
Yeah, that's great. This has been a great discussion on, you know, I think the important discussion, you know, how to get involved, steps to take. Having said that, I look forward to talking again about diving in. There are so many issues that I'd love to go deep on in terms of the details, what's going on in the industry. So maybe we can do that again.
Yeah, definitely. From NMN to CBD to, I mean, you name it, the state stuff, there's a ton going on right now. And
yeah,
really impactful, especially the issues with CBD, NMN. The NDI piece is a big one right now. So we've got to get that resolved.
Excellent. All right. So we'll follow up. We'll take a deeper dive into some of those issues. But for now, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And we encourage everybody to go to the NPA site, check that out, check out the Action Center, and check out those socials, as Dr. Fabricant was saying, all good information out there.
Read Whole Foods Magazine, okay?
Yes, that too. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.